Blessings of the Lord. Before we begin, I have a couple outstanding prayer requests I'd like to share with you, as well as one of them as announcement. Lord's willing, Sunday, we will be having our fall meeting at Southside Baptist Church in Fulton. I know it's a long ways from most of you, but that don't stop you from praying for us. And we desire your prayers. Brother Jack Dumashang from the northern Memphis area will be helping us. And we want you to pray for Brother Jack and for the church and for myself. Then, secondly, I'd like to ask your prayers, as I've shared with Brother Gables during that good meal, that on the 18th of October, we will be having the opportunity to go back to the Philippines for a week's meeting along with other brethren. And this is my second trip, and it's somewhat easier to, you know, once you've been there, you know what maybe to expect. But also, you know the needs, too. And what I really do want you to pray as we undertake to preach to mostly preachers. Of course, their families and be other workers there too. Last time we had over 100, and that's most of them is young brethren, and seeking help. And, you know, there's nothing that thrills another preacher anymore in trying to help someone that wants to be helped. And we asked you to pray because they not only face lots of poverty and limitations of means, but Arminianism has invaded them very strongly. I mean, it's worldwide, isn't it? And lots of those young preachers is what little support they get is coming from lots of the associational churches here in the States. And even though they want to learn, but yet they know if they embrace some of the teachings of God's Word, in which most of them has already understood where we stand, that there'd be a cost. But we trust God will give them grace to not only to know the truth, but to stand for the truth. See, it's not just for me I'm asking prayer, but you pray for those people as the Lord reminds you. I'd like for us to look at some scripture today. Mighty, mighty big subject for such a small preacher to try to deal with. But Brother Jim and Brother Virgil both has already given you a good introduction of what I want to try to share with you, because they've touched on it and said some things exactly what I was planning on saying. I certainly can't preach a message like that, that Brother Jim's preached, but I'm thankful that our minds is, and I trust the Spirit is running together, because I like that, and I've seen it in conferences, I've seen it in meetings, and especially our fellowship here, sometimes that how it just every message builds upon another message that's previously has been preached. In the 9th chapter of Romans, I guess one of the most, unless it's the 11th chapter, is the most neglected of the reading of the book of Romans. Most of us, I guess, even if I had my old Bible, this is a new Bible I have before me, but man, that 8th chapter is really marked up, you know, but I don't have too many marks in, you know, in the 9th and the 11th chapter, because it's just something that we just rather go back, something we are maybe more familiar with. But here we find the apostle after he has concluded telling us that his persuasion that death or life or angels or principalities or powers or things present, things to come, or in our hearts, nor death, or any other creatures able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and of the service of God and promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God had taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. We'd stop our reading at this time, that ninth verse. We'd like to deal with the thought we find in the latter part of this eighth verse. The children of the promise are counted for the seed. The children of the promise. Would you bow with us as we ask God to help us as we study this portion of His Word. Father, as we come before You in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, realizing, Lord, that the test at any time that we stand before a congregation with Thy Word that we need, as the dear brother has sung, to stand by us. And Lord, we know You promised You never leave us nor forsake us, but assure us, Lord, by the witness and the power of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may be able to honor You as we set forth the things from Your Word, that it might bring glory to Thy holy name, that Your people may be edified, that we might go away rejoicing what You've done for us through Your marvelous grace. Lord, we thank You for this fellowship and the ones that takes part in it, and the ones that's not able to be with us that's been so faithful down through these many years, like Brother Terry Worthen yonder. Lord, we're thankful, and we thank You again for seeing him through the surgery and knowing that at this very moment of time that we was looking forward to hearing him standing where we stand. But Lord, now help us, again we do ask, to set forth these things. Bless this church family here, Omega. May You bless their pastor and each one as they labor for Thee at this location and all of these sister churches. And Lord, thank You even for the new acquaintances we have learned today. Lord, we are thankful You got a people. And Lord, we are thankful that You count us faithful and placed us in the ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know time gets by on us, but we will try to reference to it here in a few later on in the message. It's kind of a parallel scripture over in the book of Galatians, which is several texts we will see as we will study, but it's one there in the fourth chapter of Galatians where it says, Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And that's something I've been on my heart and mind, and I've never, most time I, when I have the opportunity to preach like this, and I guess some of the brethren is brave enough to try it without it, we'd like to maybe have used it before, or maybe have know which way we have went and try to use it again, but I've never dealt with this subject. I knew it was there, but I mean, it's never been a thought on my heart enough to study much on it. Now, when we begin to think about the Jews that the Lord had to deal with, we find lots of records about consultations they've had with the Lord. They would, in finding fault and differences and different things. And maybe before we get here into this text or this subject that we want to really deal with, let's kind of get reminded of what how the Lord had to deal with these people that didn't believe that He was the Christ. Now, the Jews was looking for a deliverer. They was looking for the Messiah to come. They've been taught that. They had the Scriptures. They knew that one day the Christ would come. And they would was looking, and they wondered, and they was really wanting a deliverer. But here we notice in John chapter 7, down about the 40th verse, after Jesus was proclaiming that if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And as he was preaching that, of course, we know our text tells us that this is, he was talking about the Spirit. But the response to this, many of the people, therefore, when they heard that saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. So when Jesus, and we know we see this all through the record of the gospel, as we call the gospel, the account of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, numbers of the times that where they would come in opposing to what Christ was saying, and some was saying, look, this is the Christ. And some said, no, he don't measure up. We hadn't got it all figured out yet. So they would continue to do this from time to time. And another thing we notice about the ones that the Lord ministered to and had to deal with in the 8th chapter of John here, as the ones that would come up and saying that and brag about being the descendants of Abraham. We notice this on down in the 33rd verse. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? See, the Lord was preaching to him, if you continue in my word, and then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. But they were saying, we never been in bondage. You know, just like people today saying, well, we're not lost. You know, we're a pretty good person. You know, we've been all right. Or my dad and mom, they was believers and on back to grandparents. Or we even might be a Baptist, you know. They could go that far and say that. But Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you are free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And they then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceedeth forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, that's taking maybe more time than I meant to, but I want us to understand and remember afresh that these Jews or Israelites or Hebrews, however what you want to call them, during the time of the Lord's, the natural descent of them that he had to deal with, they might have been looking, and they was looking, for a deliverer. I mean, they've had the scriptures. They've been taught, that he was to come. But when Jesus did come, they was looking for him to come in a way that he would restore to them the kingdom that's been destroyed and restore like David's kingdom or Solomon. And they wanted a deliverance from the Roman government. See, they wasn't looking for a spiritual king. They wasn't looking for, they wanted one because no doubt they was at the bottom with the Roman government, and even though that they'd given them some liberties with their religious worship that they carried on in the form that they had, but now they certainly was not expecting Christ to come as a lamb and to suffer like he suffered. So then that's why some was saying, well, is this the Christ or is it not? You know, here's a scripture saying that he's going to come from Bethlehem, and he should be from David. He's a descendant of David, and there was a division among them. Now, they had the scriptures, and I'm thankful that God gave them to them. God used them, and certainly rejoice knowing that God knew what he's doing when he had the people. But yet we see that because that they was of the natural language all the way through, that didn't make them the children of God. See, now that's the children of the promise is what we want to look at. Well, Paul began over in the third chapter of Romans. He said, what advantage hath the Jews? Or what profit is there of circumcision? He said, much every way, chiefly because that unto them was committed the oracles of God. God has committed to them his word to take it and preserve it and to keep it. But they did not understand what was in the word. They didn't understand really what the Passover meant. They had the record of it. They observed the feast day of it. They had the record about the covenant, but they didn't understand all about it. They had all the types and things of the tabernacle that was started, passed on down into the temple, all the offerings, and concerning, they didn't understand about the atonement. They understood they had to carry an animal and it had to be sacrificed, but what was really that, what was that representing? What was this all about? And which God never did take pleasure in, but yet knowing it was a type. And all the things that God gave him under the law was a type of Christ, pointing to him that was to come. And they did not understand this. All the blood offerings that has been shed for years and years and years, they did not see that Christ would be coming as a lamb in that manner. But we find from the Scriptures that tells us, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we notice the Scripture not only tells us that it was a people that was looking for Christ to come, and many of them missed it because they was looking for a different type of deliverance than what Christ came to do. But remember that John the Baptist came on the scene saying very plain, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." He is being proclaimed. He was in the world. John began in the first part of the record of the gospel that he's given us, that he is in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So we are told there was a rejection. Maybe it's one time we see that he's about ready to accept him as king when he came riding in on that little colt. What is it called? Triumphant entry. As he came into Jerusalem, as the colt was brought to him, and they put their garments on him, and laid their garments down, and cut branches, and laid them out in the way, and as he was going through, they followed, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." If the Lord would have had it, they'd have made him king that day. But we know Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. At that time, they said, "Oh, this is him. We're going to make him king." Well, even later on, shortly after that, we know when Pilate began to question him and about his kingdom, and Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, and I won't be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not far hence. It won't be long." Pilate said to him then, he said to the people, he said, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Shall I crucify your king?" And we hear these people crying out. They all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." And they answered the people again. And to, I guess, one of the saddest things that we could ever find in the one of them in the Scriptures, when they began to say, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Complete rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Away with him. Crucify him. We won't have this man to rule over us. When the Apostle Paul, in preaching the gospel and going different places, we have a record here. I'd like to look at a few verses before we move on. In Acts chapter 13, where the apostle, when the Jews was gone out of the synagogues, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. They said, and here we find that the Jews is rejected, and they walked out, and when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, and who spoke unto them containing in the grace of God. So, and persuading them and tell them about what God's grace. So we find the next day came, almost the whole city came to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitude, notice what happened. They was filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Now, what was Paul preaching? He was preaching Jesus. He was preaching Him as being the one that has come and the one that has fulfilled, and preaching to them that salvation is of grace. But yet we find the Jews coming and contradicting and blaspheming. And so Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was a necessity that the word of God should first be spoken unto you. But seeing you have put it from you and judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they was glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So we find the gospel going out not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. With what happened then to the Jews? Well, in the scripture tells us, we took time, you go over in the 11th chapter, time is getting by on Romans 11, 5 and through 11, we find that there's a scripture said, God has not cast off Israel, but has saved a remnant. And I'm thankful that we can see through the scriptures that there is a remnant that was saved. Brother Jim made mention to us and remind us that this is the ones that God used to bring the gospel to us, and seeing who was the disciples and apostles of the Lord, and who made up the church there at Jerusalem in the beginning as the gospel began to be spread. I'm thankful that God had a remnant, and God has a remnant, and we rejoice in that. But all to see, by the natural Israel, by the natural Jew, being a Jew did not make them a child of God. It just no way it could happen. Why, that's why the apostle had such a burden as he did. You remember when we started reading here in chapter 9, where the apostle began to say, he said, I'm going to tell you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying to you. My conscience is bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. Oh, the heaviness, no doubt he had. I don't know about all of Paul's family. We told one time about a nephew, but you know, I'm sure he had family. And I'm sure he had family like we have family. All of them hadn't been saved by God's grace. And knowing in the religion of the Jews and the things that they was teaching, and knowing as God has revealed to him these great truths concerning not only the Lordship, but childrenship and being children of the Lord, that he knew that they needed a Savior, and he knew what it meant for them to be in unbelief. And sometimes I'm afraid we forget
what it means for people to be in unbelief, even though that they may give a head consent to it, but not from the heart. Now, look what he said. I could wish myself were a curse from Christ, for my brethren, for my kindred, according to the flesh. Oh, I don't know. I mean, talking about a brethren that really loves his people and being separated from the Lord, that's something, isn't it? But that's exactly what our Lord did for us when he was separated from the Father to die that death on the cross. But here we find the apostle was expressing not only his heart, his burden, but he's letting us know what a learned condition they was outside of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, yes, they are Israelites, all right, to whom pertaineth the adoption. Yeah, they are adopted nation. This is what the Lord did when he called them out and he told them that in Deuteronomy. We find a text that makes that very plain to us. Let me see if I can find it for us right quick. In the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, we notice here, I believe it's down about the 6th verse. He said, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all the people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of a bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yes, the Lord took the people. They was, and of course we know this is not referring to spiritual adoption, which is certainly a biblical teaching, but Israelites concerning this being adopted as a nation or as a people that God dealt with and showed his love to and put up with more than any other people, the scripture tells us. And glory, God's glory, even among them, even in the wilderness, you remember when the glory of the Lord was present with them. Shekinah glory that was made manifest there by the pillar of fire and by the cloud in the daytime, that God's presence was with these people. The covenants he agreed that was made with Israel and the giving of the law. He used his servant Moses to give the law to bring back to the children of Israel. And the service of God and the promises and all the services and all the things that God would receive and God would honor and glory was given to them. Whose are the fathers of whom, as concerning to the flesh, Christ came. He said, we won't deny that God used these people and kept them in a place, even he brought, as he had to bring judgment from time to time, but he preserved them and kept them even to the time that he sent his Son in the flesh when Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. And then he had to say just amen, amen. And as we notice, then as he begins to talk about the things in which God has done for him, here in the 6th verse, not as though the word of God had taken non-effect. He said, don't think God's word is not going to do what it says it's going to do. It's going to be effectual. It's going to, because he said, what the problem is, saints at Rome and the saints in the world today, it's not that you think, well, God failed the majority of Israel just denied the Lord and they didn't receive Him and they cried out, crucify Him. He said, don't think that God's word is failed, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. He said, there is the Israel of God. And they are not just made up of these Jews that rejected in that nation among them. It's not those, neither because they are the seed of Abraham. That's because they say we are free. We've never been in bondage to any man. And the Lord said, no, you got it wrong. Only thing that's going to set you free is the truth. But see, they didn't. He said, it's not that way. Are they all children? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now he's begun to say, I want to show you how that this thing works. That it's in Isaac. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. He said it wasn't in Ishmael through the flesh. It wasn't through the work of Abraham and Hagar and Ishmael being born. He was a son in the flesh. But that's not how Christ came. That's not what makes you right. That was the work of the flesh, just like any other work of the flesh and what it would produce. But he said it's in Isaac, the one that was promised, the one in whom when Abraham and Sarah was past age, or as a physical flesh was concerned of having any children at the time, especially Sarah, that yet it was through the promise and through the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. He said, this is the promise. This is how it works. This is how it comes. And not only this, he said, I'm going to give you another example by which Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Now certainly we find Abraham's two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, but knowing that Ishmael was a reprobate, and then seeing Isaac was the chosen one, but now here's Isaac and Rebekah here for the children not being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the promise of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Oh, to see. Now here's two. Not all had the same parents, conceived at the same time, born at the same time. But yet, we see the promise was given. And God's choice was made. And he goes ahead and said, it's written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. I know many has trouble. You mean God hated Esau? Well, why is it that he loved Jacob? I mean, we know that Jacob, and we have the record of what a character he was. But yet we see that it was through God's sovereign grace and God's power that would even, his mercy would even be shown to Jacob. Of course, I know some preachers today, they say that means love less. But hey, our Lord's love is a perfect love. It's not a love less. If it's a love less, well then it's not a perfect love. And everything we have from the Lord, it is a perfect love. What shall we say then? He said, he was expecting some probably to disagree or have a question about it for him. He said, what are you going to say? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is that unrighteous for God to do an act as he pleases? He said, God forbid, perish the thought. That's not right. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. He said, it's not unrighteousness that God's shown. It's an act of God's mercy that He would even choose Jacob to come on. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Oh, I'm thankful that we can see it's in the mercy of God. It's in through what God has done for us. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Even Pharaoh, in the position he was in, is as and how he was treating the children of Israel and all the things that was going on at that time. But yet the Lord said, I'm in control of Pharaoh. I've got a purpose for him to do this. And I can harden his heart if I want to. I can raise him up. But he said that it may be declared, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Oh, to find scriptures like this, we certainly rejoice in what the Lord has done. Well, we could just keep going down there, but let's look at a few more scriptures. Now, here in the third chapter of Romans, back he said, what if some did not believe? After we've already read or quoted first and second verse concerning advantage of the Jews. Now he said, well, what about if some didn't believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified when in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou judgest. Yes, that doesn't change one thing concerning the teachings and the things and the purpose of God if some didn't believe. It won't change. He said the main thing for us to understand that God is true, and just mark everybody up as man, as a liar, but let God's word and let Him stand true. Yes, we could see that the Jews there, they was wearing the name as being the children of the Lord. But you know, just like people today wears the name Christian, that don't make them a Christian. You know, I mean, you could put a doctor's name on my name, but that certainly wouldn't make me a doctor. And it wasn't no more than it was making the children of Israel or the children of God. They just had a name that they was the chosen of God, of God's people. But it's through the children of the promise. In the second chapter of Romans, the 28th verse, it's for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Thank God that to see our position in the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship, not that we boast and brag about it, but see where the Lord has placed us as children of promise, that to see that all the promises that God has given us, that we as God's people can rejoice, seeing that we what we are through the inward work of the power of God. Now, I remember, when I was reading that, it just popped in my mind several months, it's been maybe a year or two, that as I go down to the county jail and preach to the inmates every Sunday morning, I remember one, as I was knocking on the doors and asking them to come out to be in the service, one feller back in the back hollered out, yeah, I said, would you like to come and be in service with us today? And he said, no, I'm a Jew. And I said it just quick, well, I am too. But it's a day, I don't know if he was or not. They tell you anything, you know. Well, not only in the jail, but anywhere else people tell you. But whether he was a natural Jew or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know what God's done for this old boy. Even though I'm a Gentile in the flesh, but I'm thankful for my relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. And all the seed of Abraham were and are the children of promise. We can see scripture that, and we got to try to finish here. In Galatians chapter 3, he said, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Oh, think about that. I mean, the apostle, he said, I'm not going to let nobody guess about this thing. I'm going to, but the Holy Spirit moved on him. He said, I'm going to tell you exactly who it is that's the children of Abraham, and that's which those that is of faith. Now, in the 16th verse, now Abraham and his seed were the promise made, and he said not, and to seeds as a many, but of one, which is Christ. How precious it is to us to know that. And I just asked you sometime or another if you'd like to make a mental note or a note with a pen and just read Galatians 4:23. On down there, through that chapter, and this notice that how the scripture declares out that all spiritual Israel are in Christ. All of them that he has are in Christ. Whether they be Gentiles or Jews or what, that we can see all of them are in Christ. And when the promise was made, this promise had reference then, which we have recorded there in Genesis 22, I believe it is. It said, in blessings I will bless thee and multiply thee, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed shall be all the nations of the earth. Be blessed. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. The 11th chapter of Romans. I'm going to try to conclude here. I know we, after eating a good meal like that, it's hard to sit. Hear somebody like me try to stand before you. But listen as we try to conclude. In Romans 11:26. So all Israel shall be saved, as it's written. There shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodly from Jacob. No doubt this is reference to Isaiah 59, Brother Jim, all that good scripture you covered with us. And the Redeemer shall come out of Zion unto them that turn from transgressions into Jacob, saith the Lord. Yes, all Israel shall be saved. I believe that. I don't believe them unbelieving Jews today that die outside of faith are saved no more than your loved ones are saved or my loved ones are saved, but all true Israel will be saved. All of God's elect, all whether they are Jews or Gentiles, well, all the children of promise that comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All Israel shall be saved. That's positive, isn't it? Talking about something to keep us going in these last days, whether we see as many conversions as we'd like to see or not, was the thing that made God help us just be faithful in proclaiming God's Word, knowing the saving work and God's power is up to Him anyway, and knowing that there will be results, that all Israel shall be saved, as it's written, to praise to His name. In the ninth chapter again, and they are not all Israel which are Israel. See, he's talking about not the natural Israel, but the true Israel of God. All the seeds of Abraham was not the children of promise. Well, I'm thankful John got a vision of some of them. Maybe I could say some of us. I don't know if he's seeing us then or not. Could. In that Revelation 5, 9, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain, and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I'm thankful God's got a people. I'm thankful that through the mercy and the grace of God, not by the works of the flesh, but by the power of God and through the work that He's done with us, not only through the redemption work on Calvary, but through the effectual work of the Holy Spirit and born in us anew, I'm thankful we as God's people today have a real relationship as children of promise in His presence. May God bless you. It's our prayer. Thank you.